red pill news. The red pill news for you. Take the red pill. Take the red pill. Take the red pill. Take the goddamn red pill already. God damn it. Come on, man. Look at the stuff going on in the world. It's funny. You got to laugh at it. You got to laugh at it off, man. Because if you don't laugh it off, you're gonna be just that person who's like, oh, the world's gonna end. Boo! Other people have real problems, like you and I, and we have to worry about life and food, putting food on the table, paying up bills, you know what I mean, paying your rent, doing that stuff. Other people, like Nancy Pelosi, they don't have that problem. And if they don't have that problem, they don't understand how to represent people. That's my thing. You know, when I used to go to all these like little local political things, and, you know, the senators from New York State would come through Congress, all that, whatever, whomever, I used to go and heckle all of them, you know? And I'd be there, and so I could ask my question. I always asked the same questions, really. It wasn't, I just wanted to get a feel for where they were at. And I asked them, how much is a gallon of milk? Man, they would look at me baffled. Like I just asked them to solve pie, you know, baffled. All right, that question's too hard for you. How much is a gallon of milk? You can't answer that. How much is a loaf of bread? And they're like, not that high-end stuff either. That cost, got to take a loan out to get some bread, $8 for some kind of artesian. There are no artists doing that. I know you want to call yourself an artist. You know, this is the problem with the world, is that people, Chris Rock even said, don't tell your kids they're special. You know what I mean? Because it's going to mess them up. And all these people now. No, you're not the person who makes a sandwich. You are a sandwich artist. You know what I mean? No! You're not. You're the person who made my sandwich. And I paid a pretty penny for it. Hey, listen, if you want to call yourself whatever. I mean, but don't take yourself too seriously. Because it's just is what it is, right? And I'm not demeaning putting people down. I'm just saying you're not a sandwich artist. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying that you're not a barista. You know, you're the person who poured my coffee. Well, let me make a little design. Stop that shit. I want to get out of here. You know what? Anything in a store that costs more time, that's not going to enhance my personal experience, doesn't need to happen, right? If I'm, you know, in upstate New York or backwater Pennsylvania, any of these places, man, you walk into a gas station, right? A Dandy Mart, Quickie Mart, whatever. And the person behind the counter obviously knows everybody who's online in front of me. And they have to have this long, lengthy conversation about nothing while there's people. All I need to do is put down some cash, get my gash, and get the heck out of that. You know what I mean? Because I don't want to stand around people, especially with monkeypox and COVID, plus people's craziness, knives and guns and stupidity. You never know when you're going to get it. Could be at a parade, could be at a barbecue. You could be shopping in the shoe store, man. And someone goes crazy and shoots you in the head because they're messed up. And the system has failed you because the system's allowing these people who are messed up to roam the streets and hurt people. So, yeah, I get it. So, a sandwich artist? No. First, no. You know, you want to call yourself all kinds of names? Custodial engineer. No. You're not. You're not an engineer at all. You're not engineering anything, as a matter of fact. You're mopping and doing that, which is a vital function. I'm all for being clean. I'm all for people being clean. You know what? I'm all for it. But Pelosi, these people, not just her, all of them, they don't know how people are living. They don't care. And you ever see the dumb faces they make when, you know, some person from the public is telling them all their problems? Oh, I got this, I got that, and what is this problem, that problem? They act like, oh man, I gotta listen to this crap. You know, it's just as bad as being at one of the sci-fi conventions if you're William Shatner and you got all these people coming up to you talking about all kinds of you know, the technology that they should have used and, you know, this, that, and what people have. They've got their whole thing for Star Trek, you know. People have their whole thing. I'll say Gene Roddenberry was a visionary. He came up with some beautiful stuff and he dressed those women in some little skimpy costumes, man. You know, a lot of guys use that as masturbation material, man. Ba-boo! You know what I mean? I see that Uhura. Woohoo! Uhura! Uhura! Until she passed away the other day. Very, very sad. But, you know, she had a good life, though. She was old. You know, when people are elderly and they're all the way up there, you're way past 80. I think you're in the zone. Any day that you're having a good day is a good day. You know, after that, whatever. We hit our expiration date way before that. You know, so we've got a president way past his expiration date, and it's showing. You know, the package is moldy, and it's got to be moved along. But anyway, yeah, skimpy costumes, and Captain Kirk boinked his way all through the universe. Star Trek was as close to porno as you can get without the nudity. That really, you know, as close as you can get. This dude made out with everybody. He was on his own mission. They had the mission to go where no man has gone before, I guess, you know, explore space. Yeah. He explored spaces. He even got together with that green chick. And I would have. Any guy would have. You see, women don't understand men. men have a preoccupation with sex. Men think about sex all the time. Men link things up to sex. And whether you're gay, you're straight, or whatever the heck you think you are, it's all the same. Because there's a part of you that really kind of not just controls the rest of you, but gives you a nice... You know what? Like the penis has a memory. You know what I mean? You ever hear muscles have memories, you know? So like if you don't work out for a while and you start working out again and then your muscles kind of snap back. Muscles have memory. Penis has memory. That's why guys have such a hard time letting go of women that they truly had a good time with. Because even if you can get past your heart and your brain, you're not going to get past the penis. And the second you see a picture of her, it's that even if you can say, okay, my heart and brain have moved on, but you're going to, that little ache from down below is going to be like, I remember her. Oh, I remember her. Do you remember? And it was good. And then your brain's like, oh, man. I do remember. Then your heart's like, oh, you idiot. You fucked things up again. Ah! And then you feel that hurt all over again. You feel the hurt. Because guys hurt. If you think guys don't hurt, you don't know. You know, women like these feminists make out like men to be these toxic pigs that have no heart and whatever. Men have more emotions than women. The same emotions, but different strengths. And different passions, and men really love women. I don't know if you know that. The guy sitting next to you really loves you. Unless you're on some bus and you don't know him, but hey, he could, you know? So anyway, Nancy Pelosi heads to Taiwan, despite warnings from Xi and Biden. Now, Joe Biden, he's being attacked by everybody practically. Not those, the mainstream liberal media. They're talking some crap, but they're still way, way, way off to where their fantasy land, whatever the hell that is. They're sick fantasies, man. So, but now China's like, you know, oh, you don't go to Taiwan, we'll shoot down plane. We'll make your life hell. We'll do everything we can do to make your life hell. So, and of course, when they say that, you know you have to go. You know you have to. There's no backing down, you know. So Joe Biden's like, well, they give me a lot of money, so I have to say, don't go. They've given my family millions of dollars, you know, the Chinese. They're good people. They give us money, the Bidens. Yeah. So, all right. So Pelosi went. She landed, I guess, when she did this. China kind of blocked off the whole island, you know, with their drill. She's like, that's what they said. They're having a live fire drill and told any plane coming around, be careful, you might get shot down. Be careful. So they're playing the game, you know. And they didn't draw the red line. They didn't say, if you go, there's going to be war, you know. So, and they're not going to say that because they can't say that. So that's how you know they're full of crap. When you know, when you read an article, when somebody, I don't know, in any situation, if there's a sentence they throw at you and the words may or could or any of that stuff is in there, you know it's bogus. It's bogus, you know. Either, like, yes or no, fine. This is what's going to happen if you do this. Remember Obama made his red line in the sand saying if you use chemical weapons, you know, telling Syria, we're going to do this and that and whatever. And they did, and he didn't. And then he got criticized for that because he was a weak, ineffective president. I can't call him a leader because he wasn't. You know, it's been a long time since we've had any kind of leader like that, or anybody for that matter, anywhere. You know, those days are over. Now we've just got these freaks, including people like Trump. He's a freak, but at least he's not an establishment freak, but he's a freak in a different way. I think you want that in there again. But the main thing is for the greater good, right? You want to be able to unite the country. Trump is not going to unite the country. He did have his chance, but it's not his personality. He's the guy who doesn't do stuff, but the one who divides people, not brings them together. He had his chance. Obama had his chance too, you know, so whatever. It really was a mess, right? President Joe Biden's national security and military advisors cautioned Pelosi against the visit. As she had been shot down, there would have been some nasty memes out there that people, horrible, nasty memes that people create about Nancy Pelosi getting shot down, whatever. And if you know how much time I spent making this, I spent a lot of time making those things. Now I can't use them. Oh, did I say that out loud? Never mind. So Beijing views Taiwan as a state of China. And we are betrothed to protect Taiwan and give them money and weapons and whatever. So that's what you got there. So she went, nothing really happened. It was totally political. You know, every time she goes, she doesn't bring any Republicans with her, any of that stuff. So it's been a while since anyone's gone to Taiwan and any head of state here in the United States. So important, I guess, to show Taiwan the support. Then, you know, ruffles Chinese. So, you know, the Chinese, you're going to see them answer this in other ways. They'll give more support to Russia when it comes to Ukraine. They'll, you know, I don't know. They'll do everything they could possibly do. Putin's not a thinking guy right now. Putin is in a dismal type of, you know, got his wings shot off and he's crashing to the earth type of thing, right? So you're not going to be able to rely on that for anything. And I think a lot of people in Russia are just waiting for him to kick the bucket or something cataclysmic to happen to him so they can just, you know, get him out of there and stop the war that's going on with the Ukraine. The Ukraine, it's losing ratings, man, you know, and people were on it. And now they're not on it anymore. I think that a lot of people are seeing the very things I was talking about when the whole thing started. is that it should never have happened to begin with. And, you know, Zelensky, Ukrainian officials should have worked out something just to get the hell out of town, you know, and lead from afar. You know, you can be, you know, the leader in exile and that type of thing. You wouldn't have had the destruction. You wouldn't have had the death. You wouldn't have had all the mess. And then, you know, after Putin kicked the bucket, you can negotiate politically and move back into a different direction. Especially, you know, the United States has no leadership. But the leadership we have is just, it's a mess. And it's not going to get any better. So that's that for that. Let's get down to McDonald's. I think McDonald's is the place you can get shot the most these days. I see a lot of fast food shootings, but McDonald's. And this is New York City, of course. New York City has become a free-for-all for crime for minorities, right? They are allowing minorities to go and kill, stab, maim, destroy, steal, do whatever they want. The powers that be think they're helping minorities by doing this because they see a large predominant majority of minorities in jail there. And then they say that it can't be because they're committing crimes. It's because of racism. That's what they say. Because of racism that they're in jail, right? So I'm going to tell you this. I have a lot of friends who are Black people, who are Latinos, who live in these neighborhoods in East New York or Far Rockaway or the South Bronx. These are bad neighborhoods, not because of the police. Now, the police can be a little kinder, gentler for sure. The police have a problem, though, because when they become police officers, and by the way, 80% of them, when they sign up, say they're becoming a police officer to help others, 80%, right? And I think that dwindles after they're in there because they get exposed to all of the crime and all of the, I mean, imagine a day in the life of an officer in a high crime area. And when I say high crime, I don't think a lot of people out there have a true understanding of a Bedford-Stuyvesant or an East New York where you constantly guns going off, constantly people getting shot, constantly people getting stabbed or beaten up or robbed or whatever. It's just constant and overwhelming for these police officers, constant. So why is it like that? It's not because of the color of somebody's skin. You know, it's not because of someone's religion. It's not because of someone's ethnic background. It's because there are people called sociopaths, and they're going to go out and commit crimes. For whatever reason they do it, right? You need to take those sociopaths and either try to educate them and have them adjust and assimilate to a societal standard of peacefulness and no crime, or you lock them up for the rest of their lives so they can't hurt anybody else. And they're not doing either one of those. As a matter of fact, in New York, they don't even lock up people who are criminally insane. So now, when these guys are committing crimes, girls too, shooting police officers, shooting nuns, or whatever, man, there's no bail for them. They let them go. It's very rare, very rare that they hold someone. So here's a situation where they're actually holding this guy. The new DA in New York City is a George Soros funded DA. There's a lot of them. So George Soros, of course, is hyper left liberal and likes to dabble in our American politics and go a different direction from safety. You know, he's not in danger, George Soros. He doesn't have to live in those neighborhoods. You know, he's not understanding what people in those neighborhoods need is safety. They don't need these criminals coming back out again. So anyway, here we go, another shooting. The shooting that left a Brooklyn McDonald's worker clinging to life, who's now brain dead, could have easily been avoided if the customer was just giving hot fries, a relative of one of the suspects told the Post on Wednesday. Michael Morgan, 20, was charged with attempted murder after he allegedly shot the 23-year-old worker outside the Bed-Stuy eatery when his mom got into a heated spat with the employee over her cold order. Police and law enforcement officers had said. His girlfriend, Camilla Dunlap, 18, was also slapped with a weapons charge over the Monday night shooting after allegedly handing her boyfriend the gun, right? So weapons charge for her, but attempted murder for him. How come it's not attempted murder for her since she handed the gun to him? So interesting. I think it would have been solved if they just gave the lady some hot French fries and let her on her way. And let her been on her way, is what she said. Dunlap's 66-year-old grandmother, Deborah Dunlap, told the Post. Picture of her with a shirt on that says Jamaica. The ordeal erupted after Morgan allegedly stormed into the restaurant when his mom, Lisa Fulmore, started arguing with a worker, identified as Matthew Jeremiah Webb, over the cold fries. But bad enough you got to work in McDonald's. Bad enough you got to work in McDonald's in a crap neighborhood. Bad enough you got to work in McDonald's in a crap neighborhood. You got people with guns coming in wanting to shoot you for some cold fries. Fulmore told the Post in an interview that the employees had laughed at her when she tried to speak to the manager. Why were they laughing at her? Why didn't they just give her some hot French fries? That's why we go in there, to spend our money, Dunlap's grandmother said. Imagine this grandmother's talking about cold fries. She's actually coming up with excuses of why the guy shot this person in the head because of cold fries and justifying it. Why couldn't they just give him some cold fries? Not saying, oh my God, I can't believe that what he did and nobody should die for some cold fries. She went back a second time for French fries. They didn't give her any hot French fries again. No one goes into a restaurant wanting cold food. Blah, 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 blah. She goes on about just top it off with a few crispy fries. Give people what they ask for, she added. If I want some hot fries, I want some hot fries. Man, it sounds like the grandmother would gun you down too. You better give this family some hot fries. The grandmother conceded that Morgan's mother could have also called the cops to sort out the fast food spat. 911, I got some cold French fries.
911, I got some cold French fries from these mother huckers over here at McDonald's. Bunch of clown ass mother huckers. Send a squad car, or there gonna be some dead people around here tonight.
And that's exactly what happened, right? Let's see. The Sun got involved, who has a lengthy criminal record. There you go. A lengthy criminal record, but he's walking around the streets with a gun, shooting people for cold fries. So your justice system has failed you. The one working the job, hard working at McDonald's, serving these people's crap, is brain dead because of this idiot. What she should have done was just give the fries back after her money back or call the police situation. Yeah, okay. Morgan allegedly opened fire and blasted the worker in the neck after the argument spilled out of McDonald's. And Dunlap's grandmother insisted the worker shouldn't have followed the accused gunman outside. She followed him. Yeah, that's for sure. You know that? You call the police and they'll show up in 3 hours because they're busy showing up to all the other crap going on there, right? They got to put things in order. There's actually a website you can go for Bedford-Stuyvesant, and it shows you the live crime that gets reported in Bedford-Stuyvesant, you know, in real time. And I have friends back on Long Island like, no, they're changing Brooklyn, man. They're changing Bedford-Stuyvesant. I hear it's getting better. You hear? When was the last time you were there? Oh, man, it's been years, you know. Yeah. Since your Italian grandmother used to live there back in the 70s. You haven't been there since. And they moved out because the crime is so bad. And it really is. Bed-Stuy is a place. You know what? There's this movie called Do the Right Thing, right? I just watched it last night. It's my favorite hot weather summertime movie. Watch Do the Right Thing. You got to order a pizza. And I always tell the pizza guy, I got to be able to call him Pookie, man, when he shows up. Hey, Pookie, right? Get my pizza. And it's about, you know, it's a Spike Lee movie about a little area in Bed-Stuy, a street really, and there's an Italian food restaurant, and they're owned by white people, and they're the last white people there that own this restaurant, you know. Danny Aiello is the guy who owns the restaurant, and great movie, awesome movie, you should watch it, you know. And there's, you know, it actually was a real depiction of what happens in those neighborhoods, right? But these are high crime neighborhoods. These aren't neighborhoods that people are trying to move into. And it's not because of the police. When the people out there saying, well, you know, it's the police that is a problem in these neighborhoods. I'm like, how many types of stupid are you to think something like that? I mean, and all as for all the liberals, they don't go into those neighborhoods. They certainly don't live there. They don't go in there. They don't know anybody there. They don't know what's happening there. They don't know what those children have to do every day to get through life in those terrible high crime places, right? Get shot for some French fries. That's Bedford-Stuyvesant right there. If you want to know what Bedford-Stuyvesant is, that's Bed-Stuy. But these guys are armed and dangerous. And they're happy to shoot you. And that's for French fries. You know how many shootings are happening for no reason at all? None at all. You know? And it's the people who have to, they're like living hostages who live in those neighborhoods. They're inside. They can't go outside. Sometimes on the block, it'll just be one or two guys who are just a menace to society who make it so people can't be at rest, at peace, because these guys are always causing problems. So, you know, the no bail, let him go, all this crap. Come on, man. Let's see. Morgan and Dunlap, who have a 2-year-old daughter from prior relationship, been dating. Here you go. Grandmother said, I do hope the boy survives. I really do. I don't wish death on anybody, but he should have given him some hot fries. Psychopath. Savage psychopath, really? Is that what someone's life is worth? Some cold fries? And then you justify it? Should have given him some hot fries. Well, guess what? I hope they put this piece of crap in prison for the rest of his natural shitty life, you know? And he can think about it. He can get those hot fries in jail. You know what I mean? I'm sorry anyone's getting shot. There's too many guns and stuff. Too many guns on the streets. Yeah, you know what those guns are? They're called illegal guns. And this guy's a criminal, and he shouldn't have had that gun. And she knew he had a gun. So if there's too many guns on the streets, why didn't she turn him in and say, oh, my grandson's got guns, and he'll kill people, and he's a criminal. No. Just makes excuses about hot fries. He wasn't that good of a person, Deborah said of the accused gunman. I tried to tell her to stay away from him, but she wouldn't listen. She's not really a bad person. She's the one who handed him the gun. Meanwhile, Dunlap's father, Kenyon Dunlap, 40, appeared unsympathetic to his daughter's situation, telling the Post she has to learn her lesson. So, yeah, she's 18 years old, handed the guy a gun. But she should be charged for attempted murder. She handed the guy the gun, the same gun that was used to kill the guy. Here, take this gun. Then she shot the dude in the neck, right? So she needs to go to prison for life. The same for this dude to protect society. Don't tell me she's not a bad person. She is a bad person. I'm tired of people that say that about these horrible people. They're not a bad person because they did this. No. You are what you do. You are what you do. Bad person. So here we go with the MMA fighters. These guys are interesting. You know, they think they're invincible. And I don't watch MMA. I don't watch fighting. I don't watch any of that wrestling, real or theatrical wrestling they do. I don't care. I'm a martial artist myself, you know, and I would never exploit the art that I love so much for what, you know, these guys do. It's all about battling with one each other and you know, winning some kind of physical contest. So, but in the real world, somebody can pull out a gun and shoot you dead. And they don't know martial arts. They didn't train for a bunch of years. They don't have all this expertise and can walk on walls or any of that stuff. They can pull out a knife or a gun and end your life is what they can do. And then, you know, they could do it at 10 years old. They could do it at 90 years old. They could do whatever. So all this stuff is great. Martial arts, if you're going to do martial arts, you do it for yourself. You do it for the strength, the inner strength. You do it for the spiritualness. You know what I mean? For the connection, not to go battle somebody else, right? For to protect yourself, yeah. So anyway, you can also buy a 44 Magnum Bulldog to protect yourself, a little hand cannon, and someone gets too familiar, they get blasted, right? So a mixed martial arts fighter sprang into action to subdue a homeless man who was allegedly attacking people in the heart of Manhattan's Soho shopping district. Ro Maliban, who has a black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu after and a yellow belt in judo, was walking to his boxing instructor's job last Wednesday morning when he saw Samuel Frazier sucker punch a construction worker. And let's see, Maliban 44 checked in with the victim before running after the suspect, taking him down from behind, and being a good Samaritan, explained to his Instagram followers, "My jiu-jitsu instincts just kicked in. I jumped on his back," Maliban said. "He tried to swing me off, but for those in the know, a seatbelt position dragged him down to the floor, and I immediately took his back and pinned him to the ground." Other alleged victims of Frazier, 28, gathered as Maliban picked up pinned the accused perp to the sidewalk in front of the Converse flagship store. I wonder if he's actually wearing Converse when he did it. That'd be kind of interesting. Nice commercial. According to a third-party footage, out of nowhere, people were like, "Yeah, this guy punched me in the face. Yeah, this guy hit me. This guy hit an old guy." Some of the irate victims then began to attack the neutralized suspect, but Maliban asked them to stop and call the police instead. An initial police investigation revealed that Frazier developed delivered unprovoked attacks to the head of the 50-year-old man and the 17-year-old boy. He was charged with 2 counts of assault, which will be dropped. Let me tell you, those 2 counts of assault, he punched somebody in the face, didn't cause any damage, nothing like that. It'll be dropped, and he won't go to jail. He's a homeless guy. He's not going to go to court. Nothing like that. But this dude who put him down, it's great he knows martial arts. It's great that he knows all these things. But this guy could have killed you, sir. This guy could have pulled out a knife or a gun and easily have killed you. And your martial arts, your training is out the window. So sometimes you don't be a hero. Sometimes you can be a hero, you know. And was in Maliban who said he was not interviewed by police because he was late for work. And he believed at least 6 people were attacked by the unapologetic suspect. Let me tell you, every time I went to New York City, I ran into somebody who was completely nuts. And if you don't know how to act around those people, they will follow you. In fact, you don't even make eye contact with them. You know, you just go about your business. Get the hell out of there, right? And when you walk past them, you tilt your head to make sure they're not coming after you, you know? That's the city. That's the city. That's the city back when I was there, back in the day. Now it's even worse. Even worse. So anyway, here we go. The fighter, let's see, he's the guy who jumped on Maliban. "Nah, that's bullshit, bro. You still don't punch people in the face for no effing reason," the fighter retorted as tourists standing outside the Museum of Ice Cream looked on. "We're having our ice cream watching this man sit on this black man." "It's very interesting. The black man was punching people in the face, and there's another man sitting on top of him now. I'm having my ice cream sundae." Ice cream and the show. 2 officers eventually arrived and handcuffed the suspect as onlookers shook hands with Maliban. Let's see, he's lived in New York City since immigrating from the Philippines at age 9. He told the Post he often has been harassed over his Asian heritage, but has always been able to de-escalate the situation without fighting. Always? Let's see. Anyway, but when I saw the story, I was like, you know what? There's a lot of people that do this that get killed, and that's just the way it goes. That's just the way it goes, man. You know, you don't. So if you have to really save someone and you're gonna put yourself out there, then do it. But there's a few situations I would never get involved in, and which I have in the past, and I've regretted it, especially boyfriend girlfriend fights. You know, even when they're physical, and you get involved. And then the girl gets angry at you because you're on the boyfriend or whatever. So, you know what I mean? And also fights between like druggies and dealers and people who get screwed for money and whatever. There's stuff like that too. These people put themselves in those situations. So it's not like the innocent victim walking, you know, some kid walking to school and gets attacked by some homeless guy who punches them in the face. I mean, that's more like what happened in this situation. So. But it's New York City, and in New York City, it's a city of love. It's a city of understanding, right? Never. And I don't know why these politicians are making it like this, because they're just endangering people. So here we go. Students at ritzy New York City High School forced to attend a drag show in a church. I don't even know where to start. What's wrong with that? You got this woman guy, this dude dressed as a woman. Looks like H.R. Puff and stuff. Students at a ritzy Manhattan private school were reportedly forced to attend a drag show at church as part of its LGBTQ plus pride celebrations earlier this year. Grace Church High School, a progressive, independent Episcopal church in the East Village that charges over $59,000 a year for tuition. $59,000 a year. A lot of people don't even make $59,000 a year. These guys are paying for tuition, right? A lot of colleges don't charge that. Let's see. Invited renowned New York City drag queen Britta Filter. Britta Filter. Oh, they want to be taken seriously. To its sixth annual Pride Chapel event for a live performance, right? The event was sponsored by the school and organized with help by the students and faculty. So what are they doing? What are they doing, actually? I mean, I see pictures of this dude dressed up as H&R Puff and stuff. Britta, whose real name is Jesse Javier, performed a rendition of Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Ruined that song forever for those kids. The artist then sat down the school's queer director of vocal music. Queer director, that how they want to really be known. Andrew Leonard, to answer students' questions about drag performing, queerness, and the importance of pride. It sounds like a job fair with LGBTQ. So what's the purpose of this? And there are guys who dress as women who are living that life. Well, you know, fine, drag performing and whatever, to force students to go to something like this. And this isn't education. It's not learning. They're not going to walk away from this with any kind of knowledge that they can't find on the internet at any given time. It's more of an in-your-face type of thing that you know what it is? It's forced on people. And this is my problem with everything. When they force something on you, that's against your right of freedom. It's that simple. And the more they force things on you, labels, ideas, whatever, that these people, they themselves, the ones who are putting these materials out there, they think that these kids need to know this for the future and whatever. It's your opinion. It's your opinion. But they're in education. You need to know how to read and write. You need to know math. You need to know all kinds of stuff. Yeah, about even changing a tire. Themselves, right? And you're talking about, by the way, in the United States of America, 3.4%, 3.4% identify as LGBTQ. 1.3% identify as trans. So this is a very, very, very small group, and it appeals to anyone in that audience, maybe one or two people. Is it really something that needs to happen? That's my question. Needs to happen, you know? Let's see. They had a video on the Chinese communist-controlled TikTok that shows Britta Filter entering the back of the church in full drag, dancing up the aisle in a short cut orange and blue dress and matching go-go boots, looking phenomenal, man. Fantastico! As students clapped and cheered. There you go. I literally went to church to teach the children today, the performer told the video caption. A Catholic high school here in New York City invited me to their Pride Chapel. All right. How much they pay for that, man? And I want some taxes. I want taxes from churches. I want churches, all churches and synagogues start paying taxes, at least property taxes. So, I don't know. Let's see. Who said you can't have a drag queen at church? Would you go to the service? Filter wrote to the purpose, to the post, adding, it was a great experience. I encourage all drag queens to go to Catholic Church and attend services, man. I think all of them should do it. The Catholic Church needs more money. They need more bodies, right? But is this education? That's my question. That's my question. I don't have a problem with people being this, that. You want to put on a dress, whatever, fine, man. No problem. Is this education? You know, is it education? So I'm not seeing it. I'm not feeling it. And let's see. A lot of students said that they were forced to go. They didn't want to go. Their parents were upset that they were made to go. Well, these parents are the ones paying $60,000 for their kids to go. You know, so, and then again, you have, you know, here's one of the teacher. The teacher refers to himself as the gay gender teacher Nguyen. So, I mean, they refer to themselves as gay. They refer to themselves. I don't know. It's very weird. And there, if you're labeling yourself for whatever reason, you're putting it out there, that goes against the very grain of equal representation for all people. You know, because you're saying that you deserve something more because you're in this group of people. The only group of people that's not protected concurrently are fat white men or white men in general, you know, but definitely fat men. There's a lot of fat shame going on out there. And Britta Filter is gigantic. Nobody's saying anything about that either. I don't know, man. I don't like it. You know what? You got a lot of cancel culture crapola going on out there. You got, Dave Chappelle, who's not public enemy number one, but they make him like that because of his comments on transsexuals. You know, I saw what he said. I heard what he said. I watched what he said. And I do get offended for other people if I see something that's terribly racist or going against the grain. But, you know, I think that you shouldn't force children to do anything. You know, that's beyond the realm of their well-being and education. So anyway, here's Will Smith. Will Smith apologizes to Chris Rock. They're still talking about the slap. We're in August and they're milking this cow to anorexia, right? But here it is. Will Smith apologizes to Chris Rock. I'm not trying to think of myself as a piece of shit. Will Smith is apologizing for his unacceptable assault on Chris Rock. In the months since handing down the slap, and it was heard around the world. So Rock is out there doing his comedy. He said, I've reached out to Chris after the message came back that he's not ready to talk. But when he is, he'll reach out. So here's Will Smith being all sincere, his little face in his video. He made a little 5-minute apology video. He added, I'm human and I made a mistake. And I'm trying not to think of myself as a piece of shit. But you are, sir. You certainly are. Because at the the same time, well, a couple days later after this apology, what do we have? Here's the headline. You're going to love this one, man. So apparently, Jada Smith pushed Will to make the apology video. So here he is bullcrapping in the video. I'm sorry, I'm not going down like a piece of shit, whatever. All right. Jada pushed Will to apologize to Chris despite him never wanting to. He hoped it would die down. Advice from his wife, Jada Pinkett, asked Will Smith to apologize to Chris Rock after seeing her husband in hell over the controversy that won't seem to die down. Yeah, because it's affecting their money. She sees that. She sees his wallet. She cares about the wallet and the fame and her own Facebook crap. She has that podcast. Let's see. A source told US Weekly that Jada, who has been married to Will since 97, was the one who convinced the Fresh Air Prince of Bel Air alum to publicly apologize to Chris for striking him on television. Yeah. Jada has also been pushing Will to apologize because it has become a really dark cloud over her Red Table Talk series. It's about her. It's all about her. If you understand these women exactly like her, the women who are like her, you understand exactly how they function and operate, you know? It's all about them. It's never about you. It's only about them. If it's about you, it's something that's for them, right? So Will never wanted to apologize to Chris. That Will said that he's been in hell. Yeah, because his wife is making his life a living hell. He needs to separate from that, in my professional opinion. My professional opinion as a wacko. Get away from that woman. So, but he made, more of the same. So did you apologize? You don't want to apologize? I'm a simple kind of guy. Let me tell you. I see this, you know, Kim Jong-un is going to start shooting off rockets, and now he's doing drills, and he threatened us with a nuclear attack. He threatened us. He said, I'm going to nuke the United States. He threatened us with a nuclear attack, right? Got Putin, threatened us with a nuclear attack. Got Xi Jinping, threatened us with a nuclear attack. Let me tell you, man, I see these guys out there. Kim Jong-un. These the leadership doesn't really have a true grasp on taking action. You know, so let's say I'm President Ang Lee, United States of America, right? Kim Jong-un, I'm going to nuke U.S. I'm going to kill everybody. I'm going to nuke the U.S. Really? Oh, really? That's so. I call Kim Jong-un, get him on the phone. I tell my military to go blow up his mansion. I'd be like, hey, Kim, how you doing? I heard you're going to nuke the U.S. Oh, I'm mad. I want you to nuke the U.S. Mad. Really? Kim, you're in that big mansion up on the hill, right? The mansion, you know, the mountains, right? Yes. Yeah, you're in the top floor. Probably got a nice view. How's the view? Oh, the view looks beautiful. All right, hold on 1 second. Hold on. Oh, Kim, are you there? Are you there? Hello? That's all. And I would do that to everybody who messed with me, man. You know? Is that, so you don't threaten nuclear war. You don't threaten all these things. You just blow them up. Hey, Vladimir, how you doing? I see Russia's not doing too well. Oh, man, you down there in the bunker, huh? Duh. Yeah, you're hiding. I guess a lot of people want to kill you and, you know. You got that cancer. You're down there in the bunker like, you know, Joe Biden was doing for when he ran for office. So hold on, Vlad. You know, you're in that bunker there in Moscow, right? You're down way deep, you know, about 100 feet? Da. All right. Hold on 1 second. Ooh. Vlad, you there? You there? No? Okay. And that's what you got to do. That guy in Botswana, you freaking threaten me? I'm going to threaten you. I'm going to kill Americans. Hey, Matubu, how you doing? You get that call. The American president's on the phone. Oh, man, let's get the hell out of here. After a while, you think they'd get used to it. Hey, Matubu. Yeah. You threatened us. So hold on for 1 second. Ooh, Matubu. Matubu. Are you there? No? All right, man. But, and I'd probably get a little bit too crazy, man. At some point, I'd have to back it down. And I wouldn't do, you know, you don't need nukes. You don't need any of that stuff. You got those big MOABs, right? You know, that's Xi Jinping. Hey, Xi, how you doing? Hey, man, you know, I really appreciate you, Xi, and I appreciate the stuff that you do. But, you know, threatening our lives over Taiwan. Oh, yeah, hold on 1 second, though. I'm going to go get a piece of chocolate cake. Hold on 1 second, man. That's it. So, whatever. That's the deal. You don't take people's crap, right? Nancy Pelosi, of course. She's going to go there, stick it right in their face. Stick them both right in their face, you know? So I'm going to say goodnight to y'all. Hope you had a good time on the show. I'll see you next week on the Red Pill News on United Public Radio Network, UPRN, talkradio.com. Oh, yeah. Adios, muchachos.